Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. As always, I'm Ali Shilton, and yes, she's back.
I'm Steffi Barnett, and when I get a microphone app, today on the show we're talking to the Quakers.
Plus, Sasuke is back with a catch-up on Pride.
And under the umbrella, go to Exeter Pride.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out. See, this is like really summery, and it's really not been summery outside, has it? So
very wintry. It's November.
12 and a half degrees. So go on.
Admit it. How many of you put your central heating back on?
Yes.
Yeah, everybody, I think. Ours kicked in last night as well, and this morning.
Yeah. It's going to get warmer next week, but it's still going to be a bit overcast and not sunny and stuff. So.
I should have stayed over there, shouldn't I?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You look really tanned. Oh, no.
I am, look. Look how white you are up to me. It's 32 degrees over there.
Did you have a good time?
I did. Yeah. 2,600 mile drive.
Did you listen in?
Of course I listened in.
So if you weren't listening last week, Steph was on holiday. So
is that where I was?
Well, I'm assuming you were on holiday.
I did. It's such a long journey in the TARDIS.
Did you listen to much radio when you were over there, Steph? Apart from us, of course.
When we were, the A2 was quite long from Milan along to Lake Garda, and the Italian radio stations are very tightly packed.
There's
on
lots
FM.
Of them, isn't there?
It's every tenth.
Yeah, every 100 kilohertz. Yeah.
So it's really packed.
They're not a DAB over there.
They do, but Italy has always had a very free system. In the 70s, a very left-wing government ruled that the right to broadcast was as fundamental as the right to the press. And, you know, radio over here was very tightly controlled. So there were thousands of stations opened up. It was a real free-for-all, and it's still a very liberal licensing system.
Their DAB frequencies don't seem to be that packed, though.
Right.
The BBC Radio 2 are available over there on DAB.
Oh, right.
Yeah. No. And BBC World.
Is Italio House still a big thing over there?
Italio
House.
That was huge, wasn't it? At the end of the 80s.
There's so many stations over there. You can just have what you want.
Yeah.
There's loads and loads of talk radio.
Yeah.
And loads and loads of music. It's so packed. It's so tightly packed. You can't even get through them. If you're doing like a few hundred miles, it's just you could have a different station on every 5 minutes.
That must make for interesting listening.
Yes.
So anyway, we're going to go catch up with Sasuke, but very quickly before we do, I just wanted to say congratulations to Captain Hannah Graff from Cardiff, who has just been awarded an MBE. Hang on, let me make sure I say this right. So she rose to become the highest ranking transgender woman in the British Army.
She did, and she's done a lot for the transgender community within the armed forces. Yes, absolutely brilliant.
So congratulations to her. So anyway, shall we see what Saski's been up to?
Yes.
Saski 5. Oh yes. Hey everyone, welcome to LGBTQ Shout Out Radio Saski 5. And this week we're talking about Pride because, hello people, it is Pride Month. And with Pride Month also comes Pride Season. And if you know me and you know that not only am I an out and proud lesbian, I am also a Pride host. So for me, this is very, very exciting. I thought to myself, right, who could I get on the show to talk about Pride, represent Pride, talk about why we still need it, why it's important, who would be a good candidate for that? And obviously there are many, many people that we could have put forward for that. But actually, you know what I thought? I thought, hang on a minute, Sasuke, back it up, love, back it up. I think you should do a bit of talking this time. So that's what I'm going to do. I also want to use this opportunity to say thank you so much to everyone who listens in, all your positive feedback that I've had, your comments, you know, around the shows, and that you're enjoying them. That's really good to hear. So it is really nice. So thank you for your support. And I hope that, going forward, you will continue to listen and enjoy the shows. Now, right, let's talk about Pride. So, obviously, Pride, most people think about Pride and they think, yeah, party time, party, party. It is a party and I love to party. There's no denying that. But what I want to think about, you know, and bearing in mind, we're celebrating, as I said, the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots, okay? So if we think about 2019, we still get some really silly people, and I'm going to say silly purely because it's, you know, before the watershed, and we've only got 5 minutes. I'm going to use silly, silly people, right? We get these people that say, well, what about straight pride? Or, well, why do you still need pride? Okay, right. So, as I said, we've only got 5 minutes, so we haven't got much time to go into this. But here's some examples of why we still need pride, okay? So, when we get to the point where we don't have to do a risk assessment before showing affection towards our partners in public, and really just checking it's safe to do that, we still need a pride. Until we get to the point where we have zero statistics for homophobic, biphobic, transphobic bullying in schools, we still need a pride. Until we get to the point where being LGBT in any part of the world is something that is not an issue and you will not be imprisoned or, worst case, killed, we still need a pride. Now, this is just a handful of reasons why we still need pride, okay? So what I would like you to do with that is, obviously, if you are thinking that way, then the first thing you can do, apart from Google, the first thing you can do is come to a bloody pride. Start talking to the community. Find out why it's important to them. You know, I really, really would love those people to get more involved, and then they would understand, because I just can't bear ignorance. I really can't. But you know what? As I said, we've only got 5 minutes and I don't want to focus on the negative. So let's talk about Pride and why it's important. Pride is important because it is about bringing together communities. It's about celebrating our differences, creating visibility and showing the world that actually, you know, we stand together. When you support Pride, whether you're LGBTQ plus or an ally, we stand together because we want equality. And I think that is such a powerful message that Pride sends. Yes, it is a party. It is actually, you know, personally, to me, it is the best party. You know, it is the best sort of, you know, public gathering where, you know, where else can you go? Where getting glittered up, wearing a rainbow flag, most of the time, in a lot of cases, taking your top off. Give or take, if you want to do that, that's fine. But, you know, just being able to come and be yourself, celebrating communities, you know, Pride's so amazing for that. And for me, I can remember thinking about my first ever Pride, you know, the excitement and the nerves, and thinking, oh my God, when I first went to a Pride, oh my God, it was like I found my people. And obviously, over time, it took a long time for my confidence to build up. And I'm really grateful now that I am actually a Pride host, because I would like to say that I like to promote that message of, you know, being yourself is the most important thing. So what I want to just end with is, when we think about Pride, yeah, what I'd like you to do is take every opportunity. And I totally understand that not everyone can come out. I'm fully aware of that. But please, if you can't come out, you know what? Give to an LGBTQ plus charity. You know, talk about it in conversation. You don't have to talk about yourself. Just talk about queer people, or talk about, oh, Pride's coming up. Oh, that's good. Talk about equality. You know, you can just mention these words. Just start throwing out a few seeds, planting a few queer seeds about Pride and LGBTQ people and equality and the importance of it. You know, for those of us that are a bit more braver, hold your partner's hand, kiss your partner in public, you know, be out and proud as little or a lot as you can, okay? The most you can do is, like I say, give to an LGBT plus charity. But understand that by doing that, it may feel like baby steps, but overall, we are making a massive leap forward, so that we do get to that point where 50 years on, just being yourself is all that matters. It's not even about labels, yeah? It's about being yourself, and that's how we're going to start making those steps toward that. So I'm going to leave you with this. In the words of Gloria Gaynor, disco queen herself, It's my world and I wanna have a little pride in. My world and it's not a place I have to hide in. People, life's not worth a damn till you can shout out, I am what I am.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a Santa Maria.
Way hey, Mix.
Tatiana.
Way hey.
Yeah. That song makes me feel like a teenager, that does.
Feel like a teenager?
No, yeah.
Any particular age of teenager well, you fancy?
I was about like 18 or something. So I'm not going to react to it. I'm really not.
Which bit aren't you going to react to?
So. I was saying to Steph, this brings back memories of Club Rooster.
So sorry, Steph's gone. she's going to be horrible.
She's been fired. Club Roosters on West Street, maybe 20-odd years ago, when this was in the charts, on the dance charts.
Our paths probably crossed,
They Perry. Did, mm. yeah. Probably I was ricocheting across the dance floor. And didn't they used to have a sort of crow's nest at Roosters?
Yes.
And a go-go boy would be dancing in the top.
Whatever gender was up there.
Oh, whatever. No, not just boys.
Yeah. I bet you there were some nights with Steph.
There was what?
You.
Steph up there.
I couldn't climb up there if I tried.
20 years ago,
that was a long way up.
It was a very, very high ceiling venue, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Actually, I was probably going more to London then, than the okay. clubs up there.
Yeah.
Way out club in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Going up and back in one night, coming back at 4 a.m. and getting back to Bristol for sunrise and breakfast.
Yes. Yes, I've done
that. Those are their days.
Gosh, yeah. So anyway, I used to love that song. I think it was really cool. Bit of a blast from the past,
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, definitely. We know, so. And now we remember it as you fancying a teenager.
I said I feel like a teenager.
We know what you said. We heard that.
I was 18 when that song came out.
There you go, so you were a teenager as well.
I was a teenager, yes. Honestly, you're terrible.
Shocking.
It's just like we had a nice smut-free week last week without you. Actually, no, we didn't. Hans was presenting with me. There was no fish swimming into mouth, though.
No, not this week either.
Not any time. She's vegan.
Toefish. So,
yeah, toefish. Toe
slippery
fish.
Little suckers.
Aren't they? you're about to read the news. Are you composed? Anyway, let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 13th of June.
LGBT Labour have welcomed the result of the Peterborough by-election held last week. Lisa Forbes won the election for Labour with some 600 votes more than the new upstart challenger Nigel Farage's Brexit Party, which pushed the Conservatives into third place. The pro-Remain centrist party, the Liberal Democrats, came in fourth and the more radical Green Party in fifth place, taking more than 1,000 votes. LGBT polling experts were broadly pleased with the results for candidates who support equality. The following parties with a pro-LGBT policy platform stood in the election: Labour, the Conservatives, Liberal Democrats, Greens, Social Democratic Party, Renew UK and the UK European Union Party. Gay bloggers online seem satisfied at the poor performance for all those parties which oppose LGBT rights, namely the UK Independence Party, the Christian People's Alliance and the English Democrats, the combined vote for which was around 750. The official Monster Raving Loony Party, which polled 112 votes, used to be led by the socially liberal rock and roller Lord David Such, but its subsequent leader, Alan Hope, has made several homophobic comments to the gay press over the years. And finally, the Reverend Dick Rogers gained 60 votes for the Common Good Party. Reverend Rogers is an Anglican minister and campaigns on world development and social reconciliation. He does not seem to have any particular policies in respect of LGBT rights.
Mental health charity Mind says that women across England and Wales will get vital mental health support as part of a major new programme launched by mental health charity Mind and Agenda, the Alliance for Women and Girls at Risk. The £1.8 million programme, called Women Side by Side, will increase the availability availability of high-quality, community-based peer support for women through around 70 projects delivered by specialist organisations across the country.
The leftist weekly newspaper Socialist Worker has urged gay activists to be cautious of using an injunction to try to stop the ongoing protests by parents outside one of the schools which is pioneering the pro-equalities No Outsiders education syllabus. The paper says that the threat to LGBT education is growing as the parents it describes as bigots pledge to press ahead with protests outside a school in Birmingham. One group has made it clear that it would continue its campaign against relationship education after the High Court granted Birmingham City Council an injunction. The injunction restricts political agitation in the streets surrounding Anderton Park Primary, which has been targeted by protests during which deeply homophobic and misogynistic slogans have been shouted at children. The mainly Muslim parents stated they wish to challenge this injunction in the High Court. Defendant Amir Ahmed has led protests that forced Parkfield Community School to drop its No Outsiders lesson, at least for now. He had tried to obscure what the protests were about at first, but has since made it clear that the central issue is that, in his words, we do not accept homosexuality as a valid sexual relationship to have. Many LGBT plus activists have understandably welcomed the injunction. However, the Socialist Worker, which is the voice of the largest far-left party in the UK, the SWP, warned court action is not the way to stop this homophobic campaign. Indeed, it may make matters worse and could be used against other protest movements. It said all schools should teach LGBT plus inclusive RSE, whether parents like it or not, but that securing this will take a grassroots fight.
Meanwhile, the Mayor of Birmingham told BBC Radio that one of the protests were undoubtedly homophobic as well as illegal, and pointed out that the same laws that protect Muslim people from harassment and hatred also apply to LGBT folks. And gay politics watchers connected to social media expressed disquiet that there seems to have been a sweeping upsurge in the level of militant Islamophobic comments from parts of the community. There have always been right-wing members of our community, including such prominent people as Tudor historian Dr. David Starkey and the Conservative feminist Julie Bindle, who writes for the ultra-conservative Spectator magazine. However, some of the remarks made by exasperated members of the community on social media have been much more radical than these people, and others in the community have warned people not to be drawn in by the far right, no matter how much LGBT people may feel provoked by the continuing protest issues.
And politicians from all political persuasions, including the acting Prime Minister Theresa May and Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, have united to condemn a homophobic assault on a lesbian couple travelling quietly home on a bus in London. Melania Gaymanut and her partner Chris were savagely beaten by a group of young heterosexual guys when they declined to indulge the boys' fascination with their sexual orientation. Ms. Gaymanut told BBC Radio 1 that she had not been able to return to work yet due to the attack, whilst the BBC News website reported that year on year, crimes relating to anti-gay bias had increased on 2014 in the capital. A spokesperson for Scotland Yard said it was believed that this is due to increased confidence in the police and a willingness to report such incidents. Ms. Gaymanut concluded by urging other LGBT people to unite and fight crimes against them and to report any issues to the police.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Peregrin.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
The lovely Pink there. What About Us? It's one of my favourite songs. She does that one.
It's quite powerful.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Really powerful song that. So, and I loved it. You know, The Greatest Showman. There was a remixed album made.
Yeah.
And her and her little daughter.
That was
sing
brilliant,
the
wasn't it?
That.
Yeah.
And her little daughter's gorgeous singing it. It's brilliant.
Quite powerful.
Yeah, really powerful track that one. So.
She's quite political, Pink, isn't she, actually?
Is she?
For a pop star. I think she's made quite a few...
I thought that was Lady Gaga.
Comments. No, and Lady Gaga as well. But, I mean, you know, in terms of LGBT rights, women's rights, the state of America, things like that, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise
environment,
me.
Environment, yeah.
So, but it's good. I mean, you know, they have a platform, don't they, because they're famous.
They do.
It's kind of nice if they use it for good things, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, moving very swiftly on, I'm very pleased to welcome back David to the show.
Hello,
how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Now, today we're talking about the Quakers, and Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the kind of like...
Well, I think a nice background of... Because I believe it started in, what, the 17th century? Yeah. Quakers means friends, the original meaning of it.
Yeah,
so
sure.
If you could just take us through an introduction
I'll give you a very quick few minutes on a very quick potted history. But yes, it sort of came out of the 17th century, time of the Civil War, big upheaval in terms of what was going on with religion. And Quakers were, I suppose, an offshoot of the mainstream Christianity, but believed that Anglicanism, mainstream Christianity, had kind of gone wrong in being an established church and having a priesthood and so on, and established this kind of separate religion, who were called Friends, Friends of the Truth, originally, I believe, is the title they were. And what Quakers believed was, firstly, anyone could interpret the word of God. So they didn't have services. They would sit in a room quietly and have silent worship and wait for someone to be inspired and to talk when they felt inspired. So rather than having a priest who interpreted the word of God for you, anyone could do it, which is sort of this basis of equality which Quakers believed in. And I suppose it's carried on in various forms to where we are now, where I think there's about 20,000 Quakers in the UK and about 400 different Quaker meetings. They're always called meetings rather than churches.
Mm. Was there persecution going on? Is that why a lot of Quakers left the country and went to New England to settle?
Yes, there was a lot of persecution, as with so much of what was going on in the 17th century. There were specific bans on having any kind of Quaker meetings. If more than, I think it was something like 3 Quakers met in the same place, they could all be arrested. And many of the founders were arrested. And some, as you say, decided to go to America, which wasn't always the best decision, because in Massachusetts they started executing Quakers as well.
So, But it is that exodus that we were talking about, is how New England got its name, wasn't it? But it was because it was people from
the UK.
Absolutely.
Fleeing religious persecution.
Yes,
well, it's a bit like the Huguenots in France, that were the Protestants who actually escaped persecution from the Catholics and ended up in this country. So tell us, now, the relationship we're looking at here is Quakers or religion and the LGBTQ community. How do Quakers relate to it versus their beliefs, and does it fit?
Well, it's one of those issues where I'd say it fits very well. Quakers have 4 key, sort of, we call them testimonies, 4 key beliefs, and they are truth, equality, simplicity, and peace. And the equality bit is, it sort of flows out of what I was saying in the overview, really. Everybody is equal. There is no one who is superior to anyone else. There's no one who is inferior to anyone else. And you have to believe in, the phrase is, that of God in everyone. And that means everyone you meet, you have to respect them as potentially someone that God could send a message to you through. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to LGBT issues, Quakers were quite far ahead in saying that actually when it came to relationships, what mattered was whether it was exploitative or not, and not the gender of those involved. And in 1963, Quakers put out this pamphlet called Towards a Quaker View of Sex, which took quite a landmark step of saying that what Quakers should believe is that it's not about the gender of those involved in a relationship that makes the quality of the relationship. And obviously in 1963, that was ahead.
Very radical.
Very, very, very much ahead of its time. And, you know, like any group of people, I'm sure there are those who were on board with that and those who weren't. But as a general statement, it's something I think that Quakers can be proud of, because that is that's what grows out of equality, if you believe
in the
equality
of everyone. Does that have its roots all the way back to the whole point of everyone's equal and you can all interpret the word of God? Is that kind of where its roots come from?
I would say that's its roots. I mean, it's quite funny. There's a friend of mine... Quakers have also done same-sex marriage long before it was legal to do it. And one of my friends married her girlfriend, and when she brought along their first child, I remember her standing up and saying in meeting, "I'm not sure if the 17th century Quakers would have expected me to be here, but, you know, In principle, yes, absolutely. I don't know that's what they were thinking back in the 17th century, but that's where it grows from, yeah.
Definitely. I know, through time, equality and LGBT people has gone up and down like a yo-yo. There are centuries where it was not taboo, wasn't even, no one really cared about it, in other centuries where they're horrifically homophobic, transphobic, etc., and then it shoots back to being fine, and you know.
Well, the Greeks were good at acceptance.
Oh, well, yes, very much so.
They'd nailed it. Yeah. Now, there's something that intrigues me as well, is a part of Quakers called non-theists. Now, they don't believe in the existence of gods.
Yes.
How does that fit in a religion that basically does, I assume, sees God because of through the Bible and the texts?
Yes. You see, this is the trouble with Quakers. If you get 100 Quakers, you've got about 101 different interpretations of what it means to be a Quaker. And I started off saying that it came out of Christianity, and I've met Quaker Buddhists, Quaker Muslims, people who go to several things, and are also Quakers. And I've met Quaker atheists. And it is hard for me to get my head round in some ways. But what the thing is with Quakers, there's two sort of strands to it. There's the worship side of it. But Quakers have always been very big on social action. What you say on a Sunday should be what you do on a Monday is the sort of thing. And so Quakers have been very big in political circles, in launching campaigns. I mean, there's Quakers behind groups like Oxfam, the Children Poverty Action Group, all these sort of big causes. And so there are some who join for the social activism but may not necessarily take on board the religious aspect. And what I suppose those of us who do believe in a God would say is that we're very keen for their enthusiasm and their belief. We personally think there's a God, but we accept other people, going back to the equality, even if they don't. It's sort of a toleration thing, I suppose.
Right, but they still call themselves Quakers. So I guess they're falling back on the original meaning of that name, friends.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And that's what keeps everything in common.
Yes, absolutely. When you go to a meeting which isn't your own meeting, and you go in, there's something very, very good about walking in, and someone will say, "Hello, friend," and to greet each other as friends is, I guess it's a very basic statement of that equality.
Now, David, you've got a book out, haven't you?
Yes.
And you're travelling to, is it every Quaker meeting house in the country?
Oh, wow.
Well, my ambition, is to go to all 400 over the next 40 years. It's good this is radio because your listeners can assume that I'm about 21 and I've got plenty of time to do that. They won't realise. So let's just go with that. Yes, I am trying. Basically, I started out visiting other Quaker meetings just because I was interested. I discovered that no two were the same.
I was going to say, are they all different?
Absolutely, yes. I've not come across two the same. Be it the buildings they're in, the congregation.
But what they actually do, and then, like, is there no structure to it then? Is it?
You literally go in, and there is an hour, and during that hour, anything can happen. It could be lots of people feel inspired and speak. It could be you go through a silent hour. You can never tell one Sunday to the next.
Fascinating, because it's not something I've experienced, and of course most people's perception of religion is that it's quite structured and someone's going to stand at the front and talk to you and the like, probably because that's some of the experience you get as a kid and that kind of thing. So it must make it quite an interesting experience, because I guess even if you went back to one you've been to, the experience could be completely different.
Yes, very much so. I will just plug the book A Travelling Quaker Writes. Chapter about Basingstoke. When I went to Basingstoke, I was staying with a friend who had no knowledge of Quakers before, so I said, come along with me. And I tried to look at it through his eyes of going somewhere where people sat round in silence, and I could see him thinking, oh my goodness, what is happening? But at the end of it, what was interesting as we went away, this is a little spoiler for that chapter, sorry everyone, is that he said to me, well, you know, an hour on a Sunday morning, I really got to organise my thoughts and think what I was doing, and it had a kind of meditative experience for him. And I guess that's something, in a very busy, very noisy world, a lot of people relate to.
It's that simplicity thing, isn't it? I mean, I've done Buddhist meditation at one of the Buddhist retreats in Bristol, and there's a parallel there, I think, in sitting in silence and being with your thoughts.
Sure. Well, listen, it's been lovely to catch up with you again.
Right.
And I presume more chapters will be coming out as you visit.
Well, yes, this is A Travelling Quaker Writes, Volume 1, and it's got Volume 1 on the side. You can, if you search on that title, or David Heald, H-E-A-L-D, it will pop up on Amazon. And yes, as I visit more of the other 400, there'll be a second volume to come.
Brilliant, cool. Well, perhaps we'll have to get you back
imagine
in.
I'll when be back, yes.
When, I was going to say, when you travelled a few, you'd have to come back and let us know.
I'll tell you what I said this time was all wrong.
So, but listen, it's been lovely catching up with you again.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for coming and talking about the Quakers. It's always nice to hear, especially when a religion is so accepting and you know, not giving lots of grief to the LGBT community, because we hear so much about that. So, But enjoy your travels.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
I'll be back. Thank you very much.
Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
It's making me crazy hungry.
Yeah, okay, I won't play all of that. So that's called the sausage rolls.
Is it about time you had the sausage inspector in for an interview?
Yeah, quite possibly. I had never heard of that song before in my life.
Just
and I
as
turned
well.
Around and asked our Echo to turn on the lights, and she went, playing the sausage rolls song. I was like, what the hell is the sausage roll song? And then I played it to Hannah, and she kind of like pretty much like just cried with laughter, didn't you?
Yes, I didn't know anybody could be so passionate about sausage rolls that they write a song about
I was going to say, there is another sausage roll song.
Is somewhere. There?
Yes, it was. I think it comes out of one of Peter Kay's sketches.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and it's something and a sausage roll. It's a very northern sort of.
I get the impression it's a one-off. So if
you don't
if
you, say
because well, I'll tell you why. Because the artists are called Pork and Pastry.
Wow.
So it's a sausage roll song by Pork and Pastry. If you want to look it up. I'm sure giggle.
A big fire hit. I'm sure.
I wonder what their album's like.
Be big on.
Well,
the,
someone said it should be a Greg's advert, didn't you?
Yeah, it should. Yeah, definitely.
Someone did.
I did.
I heard someone.
I'm going to take the credit for that. It was me.
So I think you could do like hoolering with that.
Yes, outside Greg's,
outside
without Greg. Explaining myself whatsoever.
And if you haven't had a Greg's vegan sausage roll, they're very nice.
Yes,
very nice with a cup of coffee.
They're delicious.
Yeah. Anyway, changing the subject completely, it's time to catch up with Under the Umbrella.
Hi there and welcome to Under the Brolly, the My Umbrella podcast aiming to educate and inform the wider community about the lesser known LGBT+ sexualities, genders, identities, kinks and fetishes. My name is Steve.
And my name's Tom.
Can you believe that we're already up to episode 6? It almost seems like we are clocking up some miles, and that's exactly what we've been doing when we found ourselves at Exeter Pride last month.
So we had an amazing time in Exeter, where the atmosphere was electric, the streets were buzz, and the parade was something to remember.
Even better, Tom was out and about with his outside broadcast kit and was lucky enough to meet some amazing people who were only too happy to help raise awareness of their LGBT+ identities, many of which are often misunderstood.
So let's hear from a few of them now.
I'm Jackson, also known as JJ Puppy, and I identify as a trans male.
And you're also a puppy? Human pup?
Yeah, I'm a human puppy. I've only really got into it recently, but like it's kind of taken over.
And for those who don't know, what is it like to be a human pup?
I don't know, for me it's just really fun and relieving. Like it's nice to just get home and just pop out and chill out and be annoying to my partner and stuff. Like, it's just nice to like get like that freedom that you do in puppy headspace rather than having to deal with the toils of being a human.
What does it mean to you to be at Exeter Pride today?
It's just nice to like come and celebrate with me and my boyfriend and all my close friends, because like all my friends are gay in some way or another. Like quite a few of us are trans, my partner is asexual as well, and it's his first time coming out here with his flag, so it's really good for him. I was actually really worried about coming out in my hood. Like I posted on Facebook, like, guys, it's my first time out in public in my hood, like how was your first experiences? Everyone was like, oh yeah, it's great. So I came here and like, I put it on, I got a few odd looks, but then that's expected and I'm used to that anyway. But no, it's really good. I got so many photos, I got like people waving at me and stuff, so far it's been good and I feel pretty accepted. It's good fun.
I'm Imi. I'm a demiromantic asexual.
And for those who don't know, what does demiromantic mean?
So demiromantic is that you only feel romantic attraction to someone when you really know them, like you're great friends with them.
And what does it mean to you to be at Pride today?
It means getting to hang out with my friends, like in a way that means we're all comfortable. It's getting to see everyone else in a setting that they're comfortable in as well, where everyone can just be themselves and have fun and not have any worries.
I am Jackson and I am a trans bi dude.
A trans bi dude?
Trans bi dude.
So what does it mean to you to be at Exeter Pride today?
I think it's nice just seeing so many people who, like this sounds shallow, but look queer. Because spending a lot of time in Exeter, like there's normally quite an older demographic and a more conservative demographic. So just seeing that where you live and, in my case, study, has got fellow queer people is like very affirming. I think at Pride, it's like generally quite diverse. Like you'll get some people will make comments about perhaps more marginalised identities, but like generally you can find your people, so to speak. Like more generally, it's outside of Pride that it's much harder to find stuff for non-marginalised. Marginalised squared identities.
I'm Luke Griffin. I am asexual, but I also identify as a bear.
For those who don't know, what does being a bear mean?
The term that I sort of know of being a bear is a large hairy gay man, which I thought sort of suited me because of my boyfriend was like, you're always like cute and huggable and squishy. And it's like, yep, that's me, basically.
And I believe you've also got a fursona?
Yes. So my fursona's name is Lucky. He is asexual. He's sort of my playful mess around side who loves just like pranking and having a good time.
And what people can't see is that there is actually, we've got the head here.
Yeah.
So was this one you made yourself? Or
My mate, she made it. She's currently making the full body for me. So I've sort of got paws and hand paws for me and a little nub tail today. And just out here having fun in the sun, sort of like showing off and, well, pride really.
And for those who don't know, what is like being a furry, what does that mean?
So being a furry, it's a fandom, but in a way it's more like a family. We're a group of people who like anthropomorphic animals, and we like to express it either through art, animation, or in my case fursuits, where you'll take on the role of the character and you'll bring it to life. We do this all over at events, and then we'd have cons, or we do just meet up in town sometimes with friends, go for coffee, with or without suits, and basically it's like a giant one big family where everyone looks out for everyone.
Hi, I'm Mia and I identify as pansexual.
And for those who don't know, what does pansexuality mean?
It means that I'm kind of gender blind but not, and that I'm not fussy about the gender or the perceived gender of a person I might fall in love with.
And what does it mean to you to be at Exeter Pride today?
I'm the pastor of a church here in Exeter, so it's important for us to be visible and for people to see that God thinks everyone is fabulous.
Hi, I'm Maria, and I'm homoromantic asexual, I guess. So I kind of identify as like gay or lesbian, but also I am asexual. It means that I'm a girl who's romantically attracted to girls, but I don't really experience sexual attraction, not really.
And what does it mean to you to be here at Exeter Pride today?
It's really lovely to be around so many other people that are just all getting all their different colours out, and everyone's just celebrating, and it's really sunny, and it's just lovely to be a part of these things. But I've only seen about three other people with ace flags today. You never really see that many, but I think for a lot of people it's quite an invisible one. A bit like for me, like I'm ace but I have got a lesbian flag, so I imagine there are quite a few people around that have a rainbow flag that are ace if they're also romantically attracted to, you know, but maybe people of the same gender also, but I feel like it can be quite invisible. But I think there are many identities that are invisible as well. You know, you hardly ever see any lesbian flags either. You only ever see rainbow ones. So there are many invisible identities, but ace is definitely one of the biggest ones.
What an amazing bunch of people, and really brave to have a microphone shoved in their face at Exeter Pride. How do you think it went down with them?
I think it went down really well. Everyone seemed to be very happy to talk about their identities. And also it meant that people were able to spread awareness and let people know what their identities actually like.
Brilliant. Of course, if any of you want to find out the whereabouts of where we are going to be next month or turning up, feel free to check out our Facebook, Instagram or Twitter platforms for more information. Just type in My Umbrella into the search bar and hopefully you'll find us. As always, for those of you who listen regularly, you don't just need to turn up to a Pride where we are at to get involved with the show. We would love to hear from any of you out there who want us to showcase your LGBT plus identity.
just drop us an email, info@myumbrella.org.uk, and put into the subject line under the brolly.
If you fancy being part of any future shows and are worried about people knowing your name or hearing your voice, don't worry. We have ways and means to disguise this, and you don't have to use your real name.
At the same time, if you want to find out more about a whole host of different varying LGBT plus identities, genders, sexualities, kinks or fetishes, you might want to grab hold of our new LGBT guide, which is the My Umbrella Guide to LGBT Plus, which is available from our online shop. You can find it at www.myumbrella.org.uk/shop.
Here you will find loads of lovely merch in the form of badges, keyrings, bottle openers, magnets and coasters, and a huge selection of various flag designs. And even better, we can now offer personalised flags and produce almost any flag that is not currently featured on our listings.
So many thanks to the Exeter Pride team and to the My Umbrella team for their help and support on the day, and to everyone who is kind enough to want to be part of the show.
Who knows where we'll be next month, or what LGBT plus identity, sexuality, gender, kink or fetish we are going to feature. It could be yours, or one you have never heard of.
So until then,
see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. I done
been through all of that. That's Lynn Fidmont and Groovy People.
Just like us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say.
Well, if you remember, we played it when Ella left us.
Groovy.
She's a groovy person.
She is. Very.
Yeah. Got more groovy people too. You wait to see what Hans is wearing for Pride.
Yeah, I'm not going to reveal it until the day.
It will be very revealing.
It will be very revealing.
That's right, we'll tweet photos.
Oh,
yes,
please.
There's the word string involved and hot.
Yes. Hot string.
And that's all.
That is all.
Not going to ask what you're wearing.
We'll be matching.
Yes, I've ordered.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about.
I'm going to be wearing hot pants as well. Why are you crying?
Because I got broadcast with you for 4 hours and you sat there in hot pants.
Well, I'll be running around in hot pants, so I really don't know what's worse.
4 hours?
I really hope the weather's good this year. We're on the downs, aren't we?
We are on the downs.
So there is that whole, it could get muddy if it rains.
Well, I won't wear flip-flops. I'll wear something sensible.
No, I wouldn't wear flip-flops. No. I'm not good for radio. You can hear them.
Yes, this is true.
They've been very, very lucky with the weather, actually, in the last 10 years. I don't think there's been...
No.
There was 1 year. It was a little bit
changeable. Yeah, we have been lucky. Let me just tell you, we're not just broadcasting for 4 hours. We're actually broadcasting for 9 hours.
Yeah, but I've got to put up with 4 hours for you.
4 hours on the BBC.
Yeah.
Tough.
Oh, it's
I love it fun. Really. You love it really. So, but yes, no, we are. We're simulcasting with BBC Radio Bristol and BBC Radio Somerset
And Radio WSM and Ujima and BCFM and BSR 103.4 in South Gloss.
Radio Moscow. The Voice. The Voice of Turkey.
Everybody loves us.
But yeah, we should say a big thank you to our home station BCFM, because without them it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
So we do kind of take over things for the day and put streams going everywhere so that we can get all the radio out to everyone and the like. So it's good fun.
Is our techie Steve as well this year? As well?
Yes.
Mr. Satan from Radio Caroline.
he actually in his Caroline days he was known as Colin W. Muesli Bar.
Was he?
That was his name.
I didn't
yes.
know that.
Which I believe is an anagram of his real identity. Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So,
but yes, no, looking forward to it. I mean, new venue. Well, it's not just a venue; it's massive, isn't it? So I don't quite know whereabouts we're going to be on it. And we haven't seen the layout.
But we have got Darren coming in next week. It's Cutie Pock, and the week after is Queer Vision, and Darren will also be coming in.
This week's Cutie Pock at Pride, isn't it?
At Pride, and also we got the BBC camera crew in again next week.
Yeah. It's been filmed. That's kind of weird.
Maybe I should have my outfit ready for then.
Yes, perhaps you should.
Okay.
Although we might have to turn the contrast down on the telly.
Do you remember in the old days of television when it was 625 lines? It was that your shirt would strobe or flicker, wouldn't it? Oh,
well. I think that'll go down quite well, to be fair.
Anyway, that's it for another show. As we'll be saying, there's tons still to come, exciting stuff, like Pride, for example.
Yeah,
Pride.
And we've been broadcasting live, like we just mentioned. In fact, we've just done the outro already, haven't we? So bye, everyone.
Anyway, as we said, join us next week, and we'll be talking about Cutie Pocket Pride as one of the first ones. So, but for myself and the rest of the team and Steph, say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.